Bible, the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Now, it'll take you a few minutes to find that. It took me a long time to figure out that is a book in the Bible. Now, if you have an old Schofield reference Bible, it's on page 955. That comes right after Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So if you go to the end, the very end, and go to your left a few books, you'll run across it somewhere. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1. And as Tony mentioned a while ago, we're going to have a 3-day revival here at the end of the month. And so I want to try to bring something that's been, I guess, this afternoon as I tried to get away from this and go some other direction, but we'll do this, okay? The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked." The law's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. The law was designed to keep us safe and put the bad folks in jail. The law is not doing what it's supposed to do anymore. And judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Do you feel like we're there? The wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Wrong judgment comes from the courthouse now. Used to be a good judgment, and now wrong judgment is coming from there. We're living in a day, the day Habakkuk lived in is the same time the prophet Jeremiah lived in. Jeremiah and Habakkuk were two of the prophets. Jeremiah, a major prophet only because it's a bigger book. Habakkuk, a minor prophet because it is a shorter book, only 3 chapters. That's the only reason it's called a minor prophet. It wasn't that Habakkuk was short. Habakkuk is writing, Jeremiah is writing during the same time. And God, in other words, the book of Habakkuk, we're not going to do a verse-by-verse study of this by any means, but actually the book of Habakkuk, 3 chapters, it is a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And God lets us see the conversation that Habakkuk has with God. And Habakkuk is saying, Lord, judgment is heading this way. I've never seen the nation of Israel like this before. I've never seen what's going on like never before. I've never seen it like on this fashion. And God, it almost appears like you're not hearing anymore. And it almost appears like you're not saving anymore. And it almost appears like you're just letting wickedness just have its rampage all around us. And God, where are you? We need you in a time like this. And Habakkuk hit the burden. Notice what it says. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. He had a burden for his people. He had a burden for God's people. And God's people was rejecting the Bible. They were rejecting God. And Habakkuk and Jeremiah, both at the same time, were trying to get their attention and preach and lift up the nation toward God. And it just wasn't doing any good. You'll say, what is the outline of the book of Habakkuk? Well, chapter 1, his faith is tested. His faith is tested. Have you ever wondered why God is allowing all this bad stuff to happen? You ever wondered why we are now voting on what is the definition of marriage? You ever wonder why? God, are you still up there? Do you know what we're doing down here? Now we're voting on two men to be able to marry, two women to be able to marry. That's what we're voting on down here. God, have you ever wondered, say, you reckon God knows what's going on down here? You reckon in chapter 1, Habakkuk's faith is tested. You think God is allowing some of this to happen to see how much it'll take to get you to quit? I wonder if God is allowing some of this to happen, because I'll be honest, people. I'll be honest with you. There have been times when I look around and go, you know what? We might as well go to the house. We're losing this thing. The wicked is winning. I mean, Habakkuk is like this right here. And it pictures the day we're living in today. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, is fixing to rush in on Judah and take them captive and take the whole nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel is oblivious to the whole thing. They could care less. Their king, Jehoiakim, is as bad as the rest of them. Chapter 1, his faith is tested. Chapter 2, his faith is taught. And chapter 3, his faith is triumphed. Now, I'll give you a couple of things about this. In this particular time, and this is what I'm trying to give you here the next few minutes. It won't take me very long, but here's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. I know people are disturbed. People are disturbed. People are discouraged. People are depressed. People are thinking of quitting, throwing in the towel. Lord, it looks like we're losing. I mean, it looks like the wicked is winning. We Christians, we can't get anything passed. It seems like every time something comes up, we don't have enough votes. We're in the minority now. I mean, folks, I hate to say it, but we may never see another conservative in the White House. I don't know. And sometimes I know that disturbs some of you. But these Republicans, they're going to have to go closer over here to the middle to get some of them votes back. And everybody's losing. I didn't figure that would go over too good. Because, I know some of you worship the Fox News and you think everything they say is true. But people that are conservative today, the people 50 years ago would have called them liberals. All we're doing is moving. Oh, we're conservative. Oh, we're still conservative. Liberals scoot over. We're still conservative. Not according to 50 and 75 years ago, you're not. And Habakkuk is seeing this. You want to know how bad it was? All right, let me show you how bad it was. Remember I told you Jeremiah was a contemporary? A contemporary? Look, hold your place in Habakkuk, because you sure don't want to lose that. You may never find it again. Jeremiah, go to the left. Jeremiah, chapter 36. And let me show you how bad it was. Jeremiah 36. Now Jeremiah is a prophet here. And verse 1 it says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. He is the king of the God of God's people. It's the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of the book, write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, for the days of Josiah, even to this day. God says, Jeremiah, take your pencil and piece of paper, write this down. This is the word. I'm telling you what, the nation of Israel, if they don't repent, if they don't turn back to me, it's fixing to be bad. And I want you to take this and read it in the ears of the king. We're talking about the king of God's people. We're not talking about Nebuchadnezzar. We're talking about the king of God's people. And they read it in the ears of the king. And verse 21, I'm fast forwarding the story because I don't want to read the whole chapter. So the king sent Jehudiah to fetch the roll. And he took it from Elisham, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudiah read it in the ears of the king. It's like reading the Bible. You with me? It's like reading the Bible. Jeremiah got a word from the Lord. Jeremiah wrote it down and read it to the ears of the king. In the ears of the princes which stood beside the king. Look at verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudiah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife, cut the Bible, cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Look at verse 24. Yet they were not. You know how scared I'd be if somebody was to take my Bible and throw it in a fire and burn it. I'd step back and go. The king of God's people. I'm trying to drive a point home. The king of God's people threw it in the fire. All right, what's for dinner? We're not talking about Nebuchadnezzar people. We're talking about the king of God's people. When they don't want God or his word, we're in trouble. When they do not want God or his word, well, they took it out of the schoolhouse. They don't want his word. It was as if they took it and took a penknife, cut it up, threw it in the fire. What's next on the agenda? No fear of God before their eyes. They wasn't afraid. But ladies and gentlemen, when we lose the fear of God, we're in trouble. And we're at that point. Let me ask you this. In the world you're living in, who does it look like that's winning? In the world that you're living in right now, who does it look like is winning the battle? The righteous or the world? The righteous or the world? Does it look like the world's winning? Does it look like the devil that's winning? Yes, it looks like they're winning. People are sad. People are solemn. People are ready to give up. People don't come to church anymore. Why? What's the use? We're losing. Habakkuk. Now, when you read over there in Jeremiah, that the king of God's people took out a pocket knife, cut the Bible up, threw it in the... Now you know why. When Habakkuk opened his Bible here and started writing, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Habakkuk had a burden. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the problem is? We have no burden. We have no burden for God's people. We have no burden to see things go right. We have no burden to see people get saved. We have no burden for our family. We have no burden for our church. We have no burden for revival. We have no burden. But until we get a burden for God, a burden for God to move, a burden for God to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, we'll never see revival come to Holy Hills Baptist Church until we get a burden and say, God, we cannot do it without you. Habakkuk, his name. I like to study names. Habakkuk, Mark, you'll love this. Habakkuk means one who embraces, or wrestler. one who embraces. If you're a wrestler, you embrace. And that's what the word Habakkuk means. Have you ever felt like you had a hold of it? You had it all together, and all of a sudden you lose your grip, and you got to get your grip back? You ever felt like that, or am I the only one? Habakkuk, in his day, Nebuchadnezzar is on his way to wipe out his people and take them into bondage. And Habakkuk, last effort, God, I'm trying to get a hold of this thing. I'm trying to embrace this thing. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why you're letting these things happen. I'm not for sure that I understand. I don't understand why you're not hearing our prayers and why you won't save and deliver us out of this mess. I don't realize what is going on, God. I'm trying to get a hold of it, and I can't get my arms around it. Habakkuk says, I got a burden. I got a burden. Folks, this is what we need. We got to get a burden. We should possess a burden to get right with God. A burden for those in our homes to know the Lord Jesus. A burden for people in our cities to know the Lord. A burden for our churches to be the kind of churches that will obey God and obey God's will. We need a burden for our nation to turn to the Lord. This man's burden was a desire for the Lord to move mightily in the hearts of the people. That's why it says the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. It was a dark hour, and it is today. I ain't gonna lie to you, it is a dark hour. But we're gonna get to the good stuff in a minute. Hang on. These folks, they said, we don't want God, we don't want His Word. You bring me a copy of the Bible, we're gonna throw it. Hey, newsflash. They're coming after our guns, okay? Guess what's next? Your Bible. Mark her down. They're coming after your guns. They're coming after your Bible. That's why I'm a gun-toting preacher. I got a sword in one hand. Well, I ain't. The burden. Let me say this. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 137. Was written after the captivity, and this is what they said. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. In the captivity, Psalms 137, they said, as we sit by the rivers of Babylon in captivity, we reminisce how it used to be in God's house. How it used to be with God's people. How it used to be when the preacher would preach and 10 and 15 people would come and get saved at a time. Don't you sit by the rivers of Babylon and reminisce? Don't you sit by the rivers of the United States of America and reminisce how it used to be. Some of you old timers, we call it the good old days. I remember my dad saying, son, you don't know what bad is. Son, we walked to school barefooted, uphill, both ways, in the snow. Man, I heard all them stories. I called them hard time stories. Mom and Dad would get me in the car. I was a kid, 10, 11 years old. We'd drive down through the back roads of Lake County. And they'd point over there and say, son, that's where me and your mama went to school, right there. Building's about to fall down. Here's where your mama went to school, right there. She walked in the front door. She went through school. Come out the back, I picked her up, and we skipped school that day. reminiscing of the good old days. But let me get back serious, folks. It's serious when we're to the point we're at right now, to where that's all we can laugh about sometimes, is to think about some of that stuff and make jokes about it. Why? Because we're in such desperate need of God to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. We're in the minority. We can't vote God in. We can't vote the Bible back into the school. We can't vote, folks. We got to do our part. Now, I'm not saying, no, I'm saying got to do our part. We got to have somebody to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Now, let me tell you this. It is bad. But God is working when you can't see Him. God, got news for you. Let me let you on a little secret. If you ever turn to the back of the book of the Revelation, God wins. God's winning. You remember, you and I both, we agreed. You wasn't wrong when you said it. Yes, it looks like the wicked is winning. Yes, it looks like the devil is winning. Yes, it looks like the unrighteous has forsaken us, and ever the all the church and the saved folks are turning their back on God. Yes, it looks that way. But I got news for you. God's all in control, and He wins in the end. I'm just glad I'm on the winning team. Yes, it looks bad. Yes, it does. But I'd rather be on the team I'm on than the team they're on. Some people are saying, well, we need more social programs. That'll help. We need better educational system. Boy, that'll help. We need some more military. That'll help. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. You remember those people wasn't afraid in Jeremiah's day. Habakkuk said, I'm afraid. Oh, Lord, what does he say? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Look you here. In wrath, remember mercy. Folks, God will not forsake us. He didn't forsake Noah. The wrath of God was coming. And in wrath, God remembered Noah, and He remembered mercy and got Noah and his family out of there. Lot and his family, in wrath, wrath was coming. The judgment of God was coming. And in wrath, God remembered Lot, remembered his family, got them out of that place. He remembered mercy. God is a God of mercy. And on so many different stories in the Bible goes along with that. God is still in control. One of the deepest or the desperate heart cries of Habakkuk was, God, we need one thing. And there's not but one thing we need. We need revival. I said we need revival. I said we need revival. Holy Hills Baptist Church needs revival. Dyersburg, Tennessee needs revival. Dyer County needs revival. What do ministers need who speak without a burden? What do Sunday school teachers need who walk in their classes without expecting God to work? What do people gathered in church buildings with no zeal and enthusiasm for God, what do they need? One thing we all need, that's revival. We need revival. Let me show you one more verse. You're in chapter 3. Turn to the last three verses. The first part of Habakkuk, how long shall I cry and you not hear me? God, are you up there? Chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Chapter 1, Habakkuk was solemn. He was sorrowful. But in chapter 3, he's singing. Let me say that again. You know, some of you are asleep. Chapter 1, he's sorrowful. Chapter 3, he's singing. What happened? Habakkuk came to this realization. He said, I don't care if the fig tree don't blossom anymore. He said, I don't care if the fruit, there's no fruit on the vines anymore. I don't care if the olive fails, the fields that yield no meat. I don't care if every barn in town don't have any livestock in them. I'm going to trust God. He brought me this far. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to trust God. Yes, He's been good to me. He's been good to my family. I ain't failing Him now. If they vote every homosexual in, whatever they want to do, if they abort every baby, I'm staying with God. I ain't quitting. God, we need revival. We'll be here when you come get us in wrath. Remember mercy. We got to have revival, people. And Habakkuk, just like Job. Y'all remember Job? Job says, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If He takes everything I got, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Folks, it's going to take that kind of attitude to have revival in this nation, in this country, in this city, in this town, in this church, in your life. You've got to come to the place to where God wins. Yes, it looks like that. Yeah, it looks like. But God is in control when you can't see Him working. You just mark this down. It don't make any difference. Whatever they do, we'll do our part. We'll stay with God. We'll do whatever God has done for us to do. They'll laugh at us. They'll make fun of us. But hey, judgment is coming. Wrath is coming. God, we pray in wrath. Just remember mercy. And thank God the rapture's on His way. That's the mercy. That's the hope that we have. That the Lord is coming. We got to get a burden, people. Are we burdened for revival? Oh, preacher, every year we do this, burden for revival. We'll come down here and pray for revival, and then we go back and do the same thing. Folks, it's time we get serious. Every year it gets more serious and more serious. More serious. I don't know this kind of sir. I don't know. I didn't mean to preach and holler like that. But hey, on a Wednesday night, we need some men to gather up down this altar and pray. We need some ladies to gather up and let's pray. Let's pray. Get a burden. Get Habakkuk's burden. God, give us that burden that we need. Lord, to seek Your face and know that You are the only one. You're our only hope. Our hope's not in the government. Our hope is not in the whatever. Our hope is in you. And if the trees don't never blossom again, God will still be trusting you. That's what we need, folks. Mark, come up here and play on the piano a minute. I think we'll just get